Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Let's go into the word of God very quickly. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I want to continue on the series I've been talking on since I've been preaching on since we started this year, prayer power. Everybody say prayer power. Prayer. We've been looking at prayer, looking at it from different dimensions. Today I want to talk about what I titled prayer privileges. Prayer privileges. Prayer privileges. It's a privilege to pray. Somebody say that with me if you believe that. Say it's a privilege. To what? To pray. It's a privilege to pray. And today you're going to begin to see, you know, from God's word, you'll see why, you know, prayer is such a great privilege. But let's look at some text first of all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to start with. Paul speaking to the church in Thessalonica, he said, be joyful always. Then verse 17, he said, pray continually. Everybody say, pray continually. The King James Version says, pray without ceasing. Pray without what? Ceasing. In other words, Paul was saying, always be in prayer. 24/7. Everybody say 24/7. Always be in what? In prayer. 24/7. Without ceasing, without stopping. That's exactly what it means. Always be in prayer. Without stopping. Amen. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul also says, be joyful in hope. Patient in what? In affliction. And what? Faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Faithful. In fact, you know, I think the KJV says continuing instant in prayer. Something like that. Continuing instant. Someone say instant. In what? In prayer. So, still the same thoughts of continual prayer. Not stopping. Just continuing to pray. Continuing to pray. Whether you are, you know, very hopeful, whether you are in tribulation, you are going through things, just continuing in prayer. And of course, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says, men, meaning men and women, ought always to pray and not what? Give up. Ought always to pray and not what? Give up. Always. Everybody say always. So every day prayer. Somebody say every day prayer. 24/7 prayer. So 24/7 prayer. Continuing prayer. And every day prayer. The word give up there means caving. A translation actually says they ought always to pray and not caving. Not caving. Or faint. Or caving. You know. Just stop. Don't give up. Amen. So we see Paul, Jesus admonishing us that we should always be in prayer. We should continually pray. I wonder why. I wonder why. Because, you know, those are just three samples of such admonitions in Scripture. There are more. I wonder why God really, really wants us to keep praying. And let me just give you one reason, and I'll give you a bunch of reasons, which is actually a privilege. I mean, some of the privileges of prayer that I want to talk about today. The first reason I'd like to give you is this, and I think that's the overriding one. The kingdom of God being established on the earth is dependent on praying saints. The establishment of the kingdom of God on earth is dependent on what? On praying saints. So that means that if the saints don't pray, the kingdom is not established on the earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus teaching us about prayer, he said, in this manner, pray. In this manner, in this way, pray. And what he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's the next thing? Your what? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the will of God, as powerful as it is, the kingdom of God, as powerful as it is. And there's nothing as powerful as God's kingdom. As powerful as it is dependent on praying saints to bring it from the invisible realm and to bring it into the manifested realm of the physical, into this world, this domain. It takes praying saints to do that, to bring it into this domain. And all through history, you have seen when saints just caught hold. I'm going to be showing some of those things in the retreat. When people just caught hold of it and they were able to bring the kingdom of God on the earth in one aspect or the other. So that's how God's kingdom is established. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's how righteousness is established on the earth. That's how peace is established on the earth. That's how joy in the Holy Spirit is established on the earth. That's how the move of God is expanded. That is how the will of God is established in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your children. There is no other way. Prayer is how we petition the King of our kingdom to manifest his kingdom on the earth. There is no other way. That's why the prayer is important. Amen. It's priority. If we do not pray, the kingdom will not be expressed. If we do not pray, the other kingdom will continue to reign. It is through prayer that we establish the kingdom of God in our cities, in our nations, all around us. That's one of the privileges of prayer. So if you are writing, that's number one. When you pray, you join God in establishing his kingdom on the earth. Everything about his kingdom, its principles, its power, its rulership, its constitution, its influence, its impact, you will join God in establishing it on the earth. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to be part of that? Then pray. Amen. So because God needs his kingdom to fill the earth, he needs it to fill the earth. That's why Paul, Jesus kept on talking about continue to pray. Just continue to pray. Because constantly we need the kingdom of God. You know, he wants his kingdom to continue filling up the earth. So that's why we pray. Number two, privilege of prayer. Prayer allows you to enter into heaven's throne room. Prayer allows us to enter into heaven's throne room. You know, the Bible tells us that there's a throne room in heaven where the king sits, the king of the kingdom. For example, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Or let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Listen, thrones of kings, they are highly honored places. Not anybody can get there. For example, if you wanted to go see the Queen of England, for you to get to the place, the throne where she sits, you must be very important. You must be very important. In fact, there's a way you have to approach. And you must not speak first. She speaks to you first. There's a whole protocol for approaching the Queen of England. They will first of all do orientation session for you. When you get to Buckingham Palace, sit down. This is how you address the king. Even lesser kings, like the king. I remember when we went to visit the king of Badagry in Lagos. So we're going to the king of Badagry. And we got to his palace. They sat us down. They first of all gave us orientation session. They said, when the king comes, everybody must be on their feet. Okay? And then, this is how you address him. When you want to talk, this is the first thing you say. Then, if he does any kind of movement, this is what you do. So, I went with some white folks from here. So, every one of us, the king came in. We had to comply. And then when we wanted to make our request, we had to comply. They had to learn how to call the name that you call him. And then he listens. So when you talk about kings, there are protocols for approaching him. Now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invites us into his throne room. And it tells us the only thing you need to be able to come in is what has already been provided, and that's the presence of Jesus there. So all you need to do is say, in the name of what? Of Jesus. That is the name that opens up heaven, that opens up the throne room of heaven. And then you have the attention of the king. Amen. What a privilege. What a privilege to commune with the king. The Old Testament gives us a picture of that in the story of Esther. Esther needed the king to intervene, or Israel was going to be annihilated. There was going to be a genocide of the Jews. And so Esther was afraid, because there were some rules that you don't approach the king. That was his wife. That unless the king does something, you cannot. You are going to die. But she needed the king's intervention. And then she summoned up boldness and told the people to pray for her. And she went there and had favor with the king. Now the king of our kingdom is a loving king. Amen. He's a loving king. And he is the one that is calling on us to come. To come. You know, I love the KJV of it, because he actually says, let us come. Let us come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. And I love the Amplified, because the Amplified talks about the latter part, that we can find appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Appropriate help. So he calls us to come. So it is a privilege to enter into the throne room. If you had the opportunity to get into Buckingham Palace or go to the White House on a daily basis, and you have an audience with the king or the president, wouldn't you take advantage of it? Wouldn't you? Yeah, that's one of the privileges of prayer. And that's why the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Come into the audience of the king and fellowship with him and tell him what you need, because he has the power to handle whatever it is. And he's interested in you, and he's interested in his kingdom being expressed on the earth. Amen. Glory to God. Number three, privilege. Through prayer, we become co-laborers with God. Co-laborers with God. Co-laborers. Co-laborers. You know, you get the word collaborate from co-laboring. To collaborate. Collaborate with God. God has some desires. That is what is called his will. And he wants to establish it in your life, in our city, in our nation. He wants to establish it in our generation, in the nations of the earth. So God now calls us to co-labor with him. To co-labor with him. To collaborate with him to bring it to pass. Why do we need that collaboration? The reason is because originally, and I think I thought a little bit of that last year, originally the earth was made for man. So it is human beings that have authority on the earth. It was made for man. Heaven was made, God made it for himself. And then the earth, he made for man. The Bible says he made man to have dominion over everything. So the people who have authority on the earth are those who have birth certificates. Amen. So even God, I mean those who were born, that's what I mean. Those who were born through a woman. Those are the people who have authority on the earth. Even God, when he wanted to come to save humanity, he had to come through a woman. Because for him to exercise authority, he needed to come as a man. That's why you notice that when the demons saw Jesus, you remember what they used to say? Whenever they saw him, whenever he was preaching and there's a demon, one man would shout out and say, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. I command you, Jesus. The word, the KJV says, I adjure. The word adjure means I command you, Jesus. You cannot touch me before the time. Did you get that? I don't know if you are, did you get that? The demon said, you can't touch me before the time. I command you. But the mistake they made was that Jesus was not just the Son of God, he was the Son of Man. He had a birth certificate. So Jesus would say, come on, get out. If he had come as God, there was no way he would have been able to cast them from the earth. Because a man gave them the right to operate on the earth. And it has to be a man, you understand, that can cast them out. Are you getting it? Not a God. That's why I can't say, God, cast out this devil for me. Mm-mm. God said, you, resist the devil. What? He will flee from you. Because it is authority based. You are the one who has been given authority on the earth. So you are the one who can cast the devil out. You are the one that will speak over your house and say, Satan, enough is enough. There's a new sheriff in town. Amen. Get out. You are the one that has been given the authority. Not God. God gave you the authority. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So, prayer allows us to collaborate with God. The Bible talks about a man in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God. Mature and fully assured. So there was this man in the church, the Colossian church, that was always praying for all the believers there. Wrestling. The Bible uses the word wrestling. It was laboring. KJV says laboring, laboring. The word there is the word agonizomai in the Greek. Agonizomai means in pain, wrestling in pain. You know, like groaning and. It was fervent prayer, laboring fervently, fire, agony. That's where you get the word agony, agonizoma. It was so that they may be perfect and complete in all the will of God. This man knew the will of God for the saints, so he joined God as a co-laborer. And as a co-laborer, began to establish the will of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, that we are co-laborers with God. God's fellow workers, co-laborers with God. KJV, co-laborers with God, or fellow workers. Amen. We collaborate with God. Amen. So listen, if God is going to do anything, in our world, he needs co-laborers. So one of the privileges of prayer is that we are able to collaborate with God. So God wants to do something, for example, in the next generation through your children. As you begin to pray and pray for them, you collaborate with God. You co-labor with God to establish that so that your children walk in it. God wants to do something in our neighborhoods, as a church, in our city, in our nation. We collaborate with God and God begins to walk. So we are doing our part of inviting him as people who have authority on the earth. And then he who has the power now starts to use that power to begin to change things in our life. So one of the privileges of prayer is we are able to co-labor with God. God becomes our partner. Amen. Do you love that? Someone say, God is my partner. He's my partner. Next. You release angelic assistance through prayers. You release angelic assistance. Now, while some have seen angels before, some have never seen angels before, but angels are beings that are invisible to our physical eyes because of the range that our physical eyes can see. You know, there are some things that your ear can hear, and there are some things that the dog can hear that you can't hear. Amen? So there are ranges. There are some things that a dog can see that you can't see. Okay? So our senses are limited. Except God touches us, or the angels slow down somehow, and then you find yourself seeing them. That's how people see angels. But that doesn't change the fact that angels are very present. Everybody say angels are very present. Angel, could you help the kids downstairs, ushers? Angels are what? Very what? They are very present and very active. Now, they are actively carrying out the purpose of God when we pray. So when we pray, we release angels. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Bible says that Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Verse 2. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jew, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of the unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guided by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. Everybody say Peter was kept in prison. But what? The church. Everybody say but the church. But the church. If not for that but, what will have happened to Peter? The story would have been different, right? He would have died like James. But the church. Sometimes the only thing that will change the trajectory of the story of your life is prayer. Either prayer by you or prayer by someone else. That's the but. If not for prayer, for me, God knows where I will be. But prayers was made by the church. Earnestly, they were on fire praying for him. Now look at what happens in response to their prayers. What happens in response to their prayers? Verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up. Now, even before the angel came, the prayer was already working. Because a man that was going to be killed the next day that was sleeping, that the angel had to strike you to wake up, he must be supernatural. That's like, you know, Daniel sleeping when there were lions all around. I mean, that's supernatural. You can't, hey, about, you're going on death row the next day, you're pacing all over the place. If the angel don't have to wake you, you see the angel like this, you're like, same B. They had to wake him up. Get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. You know, for some of you right now, you have relatives in prison. You have, not just physical prison, but even, you know, in prison to anything, drugs and all that. The best thing you can do for them is to pray for them. That's the best thing. God knows how to deliver. Amen. Someone say, God knows how to deliver. No matter the chains that have bound people, if somebody can begin to pray, amen, those chains will be broken. Those chains will be broken. The chains will just fall off. They will just come to themselves. Whatever it is, If wives can pray for their husbands, if husbands can pray for their wives, if mothers can pray for their children, if brothers can pray for their sisters, amen. No matter what, chain is binding them. If you will stay there in prayer long enough, those chains will be broken. Because when you pray, you are bringing the kingdom of God into the situation. And the kingdom of God sets free. The chains fell off Peter's wrists. Verse 8. And then the doors, the angels, you know, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. And he had no idea what the angel was, what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. This guy was so much into vision that he didn't even know when something real was happening. You know, that's the kind of life I ought to live. I look at you, have I seen a vision? Not sure. Are you there? The early church, they were so used to the supernatural. Even the people that were praying, you know, they were praying. By the time Peter appeared, they didn't believe. They thought they were seeing angels. They passed the first and second guards, came up to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. And they went through it. They went and walked the length of the street. Suddenly the angels left him. So angel has done his work. Answered the prayers of the church. Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came and answered the door. And she recognized Peter's voice. She was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You are out of your mind, they told her. These are the people that were praying. When they're praying in faith, you know, the answer showed up, you know. I don't know, you are out of your mind. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. These people were so used to the supernatural that rather than believe that it was the real Peter, it must be an angel. And that also tells us that, you know, your prayer doesn't have to be perfect. These people, they were praying, but some of them were not even praying in faith. But they were praying earnestly. Amen. They were praying earnestly. And God released angels in answer to their prayers. There will be some angelic manifestations through our prayers this year. Angels will open doors. Angels will break chains. Angels will deliver. I said angels, they will open doors for you. Angels will clear the path for you into God's destiny for you, into God's plans for you for this year. Impossible things will be done as angels are released. Luke 22 verse 43. After Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, an angel from heaven appeared to him and what? Strengthened him in response to his prayers. You will be strengthened by angels. I don't know about you, I experienced that a lot. You know, sometimes I'm just sitting down, maybe tired and I'm doing something, or maybe some discouraging thoughts or something coming to my mind and all that. And so I just tell my wife, I said, baby, somebody's praying for me. You know, so I said, baby, somebody's praying for me. I feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. Because suddenly, from that thing, I just feel something come all over me. And then I just become very strong. Amen. That happens a lot. Sometimes when I'm on missionary journeys and all that, I'm traveling and, you know, I feel, you know, drained or weak. I just lie down or I do something. I just feel the strength just come. Say, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me somewhere. Somebody's praying for me somewhere. Angels can strengthen you. Some of the angels can strengthen you. I don't know the way they do it, but something, it's like they pour oil on you. It just goes through your head and goes down like that. And suddenly you feel very strong. They can strengthen you if you are discouraged. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12. The angel told Daniel there, I came. The angel said, do not be afraid. Since the day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. I have come in response to your words. So a man was praying on the earth for 21 days. He didn't give up. He just kept on praying and fasting. And even though the angels met some things along the way, some oppositions along the way, the prince of Persia and all that, the angel got to Daniel because Daniel did not stop. And the angel said, I came in response to your word. So one of the privileges of prayer is angels. You can send angels along with your children. You don't have to be worrying about them. Amen. You can send angels along. When they go to school, when they do all that, you can send angels along to them. When they go on excursions and all those kind of things, you can send angels along through prayers. Hallelujah. Number five. Oh, is it six or five? I don't even know. I've lost my number. Number what? Number five. Privileges of prayer. Prayer allows you to extend your presence beyond where you are. Prayer allows you to extend your presence beyond where you are. Hallelujah. Did you know that Paul, we read the book of Colossians. Do you know that Paul never went to Colossae? As in, Paul never visited Colossae. Never got there. Physically, he never went, according to church history. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, in Colossians 2, 5, he said, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. And I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. You know, prayer extends your presence. As a pastor, not only do I pastor people here, I also pastor people that, you know, that are not in these borders, that are across the Atlantic and in other places. I mentor people and all that. And some of them, I may not even see them for a year or even more. But there's a way that you just know when people are fine. Amen. And there's a way you just know when people are not fine. You know, I hear this constantly. When I call somebody, or I text somebody, I just call and text somebody and say, Pastor Lan, why did you call me at this time? Or why did you send this thing to me at this time? That's what's happening. You see, when you pray for people, you extend your presence. Do you get that? You can actually behold their order, the way they are doing things. Some of you don't even know. There are some strange places in prayer where God literally shows you, not necessarily a vision, but it could be a vision. God literally shows you what is happening in somebody's life. It's one of those gifts of, you know, one of the things that come with pastoring. Amen. You know, Elijah, please, I don't know where this verse is, and it's not one of those scriptures that I gave you. You know, but let me find it. Elijah made that statement. He said, my spirit went with you. My what? So that's in the Old Testament. But Paul is giving us the same example. He said, my spirit went with you. So there was this servant of Elijah. And, you know, so this servant went out. Elijah had told, when Naaman came to meet him, also Elisha, is that it? Is it Elijah? No. Just look for my spirit went with you. So, but let me tell you the story. So Naaman came, was healed of leprosy, and wanted to give Elijah some money. Was it Elisha? Elisha. Wanted to give Elisha some money. And then, Elisha said, no, I'm not going to take your money, and all that. Then his servant, what's his name? Gehazi. His servant quickly went, followed Naaman, and said, you know, yeah, that's it, very good. So I told Naaman, I said, my master sent me to you. You know, and he has changed his mind. So give the money and everything and all that. So the guy took the money and he went back to meet Elijah. Elijah said to him, he said, was not my spirit with you when the man got up from his chariot to meet you? Is it the time to take money or to accept clothes? Olive groves, vineyard, flocks and herbs, men servants and maid servants. Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and he was leprous as white as snow. Let me tell you something. We all need to respect the supernatural. If you ever wondered how pastor, you see, there are different ways of pastoring. You can pastor naturally or pastor supernaturally. There is nothing that goes on that affects this church. Whether it's going to affect it negatively, that I don't get an inkling of. That's the way it has been for years. I just sense the spirit, or I see it. I see it. Because the spirit is everywhere, especially when you pray and love. You will see it when it's going on. You will see things about people. You know when people are in the right, when people are in the wrong. You will see it. You know when people are double dealing and doing all that. You'll see it. You will know it. It will come out. Hallelujah. And for those of you who are leaders, I tell you, tap into that supernatural grace. So you don't really necessarily have to be holding people naturally, but there's a way you can do it. And there's a way you can exercise authority as a leader supernaturally. That you don't have to do anything physically. You deal with it supernaturally, and God goes ahead. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 4. The Corinthian church. He said, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not there. When you are assembled, GQs, whatever, in your homes, in meeting, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am with you in spirit. And the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is present. And in fact, he said, I have already judged that. Verse 5. He was even talking about that same thing here that Elijah did. He said, I have handed this man over to Satan so that his sinful nature may be destroyed, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So there are some dimensions of the, you know, don't play with this church kingdom things. Amen. There are some dimensions of it that some of us don't yet understand. They have handed him over because the man was causing problem within the church. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It was spreading something that was not supposed to flow within the church. And Paul said, I dealt with him. The man was sleeping with his, his stepmom. And he was doing it openly. And the church was watching it. So Paul said, I'm not there with you. I'm far away. But I have already judged and I've delivered this man to Satan. Sometimes, when somebody is delivered to Satan, you get what I'm saying? Because the worst thing is for you to end up in hell. But when you are temporarily delivered to Satan, because in 2 Corinthians it says, restore that man back because he has repented. When somebody is delivered to Satan, there are a bunch of things that happens to get the person to eyes to open. And then if the person repents, then the person can then be restored. So that he can be saved on the day of the Lord. So someone say, I have that prayer. I have that power. You cannot be hindered by oceans, space, or time. Amen. You can go beyond where you are right now. You can go beyond where you are now. You can see your children when they are not with you. You can see, you know, the people you lead. You can see your parents. You can see your fears, even when you are not there, when you get into the spirit of prayer. And finally, prayer grants you entrance to anywhere without respect to distance or time. Anywhere. It grants you entrance anywhere with no respect to what? To distance, time, or status. So you can be. You see, we're talking about prayer power because this is a year of power and influence. And I told you, the highest form of power is the power of prayer. There are some people that are frail naturally. I'm going to say frail. You understand? You look at them, it's like they don't have any power. Some women, weak woman somewhere or something, or a little kid and all that. They, on their knees, they can command nations. On their knees. We have stories and stories of them. They can command nations. They can change generations on their knees. Through prayer, you can enter the White House when you would not naturally be allowed to enter. Through prayer, like I told you can go into the prisons. Through prayer, you can control the steering wheel of a loved one in such a way that even when they are tired, they will not get into an accident. Through prayer, you can be on the flight when you are not on that flight. Through prayers, you can be part of missionary work in different nations of the earth when you have never set your foot there. There are some strange experiences that, you know, in the book Adventures with God by John G. Lakes, that through prayer, he will literally leave where he was in America and find himself in a country in, what do you call it, in Africa, and see everything going on there, do some things, and then he's back there, and then people are talking about that thing around the same time. People that just get a burden to pray. You know, God has an emergency prayer network. Someone say God has an emergency prayer network. He has an emergency prayer network. If you know the fact that if God wants to do something on the earth, he's going to need somebody to pray for you. And if somebody is in danger, there's going to need for somebody to pray. The way God does that in his emergency prayer network, it's usually those who have been praying that he puts in that emergency prayer network. He will put a burden on you. Someone say a burden. You just... You have ever experienced that thing? You are just going about your normal duty, and then you just feel extremely sad. You just feel very sad, and while you don't know the reason why you're feeling extremely sad, then the next thing is you begin to pray. I always share this example of when I was playing table tennis some years ago. You know, just playing table tennis, enjoying myself, and then suddenly I felt so sad while I was playing. I felt very bad and sad, so I dropped the bat. Dropped the bat and I went upstairs to pray. I was praying. It was later that I discovered, you know, when I spoke to my mom, I discovered that armed robbers had gone to her house at that particular time with guns, you know, to rob. And, you know, they tried to hit my brother and all that. They broke glasses, they did all that. But, you know, they kept them, they were safe. They went to other places, did some havoc in all those places, but God protected them. But it was at that time when I felt that supernatural, that thing come on me. And this has happened many times. Sometimes my wife and I just wake up in the night or something. Baby, I feel very bad. I feel very bad about something. I don't know. I just feel very bad about something. You know, and then we pray. You pray until the joy comes, until the burden lifts. Sometimes you don't even know what you are praying about. I mean, by someone, you remember the day that it happened regarding, was it your brothers? They were, you know, they were in a flight. You understand? That night, I did not even know what was going on. Even when you were sick in Nigeria, I did not know what was going on. The thing just came on me and I felt so sad. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Later, Pastor Mo came to share with me that his brothers were on a flight to Cameroon or something. And the flight developed a fault. And I don't know what, they had to turn around and all that. You know, I discovered that he was actually in a coma. Because the picture I saw was, I saw him dead. You know, I saw myself officiating a funeral. And I saw him. And I was praying and praying and praying. Later they now told me, they said, you know, he had an issue, you know, cholera and everything. And he was in a coma. That they had to take him to the hospital. I'm sharing these things because these things are real. Amen. If some people had gotten people to pray for them, some of them will be alive now. There's an emergency prayer network. That's why you must be covered. Right? How many of you watch movies? Pastor, someone, you know how they do cover. Come. You know how cover works. Get your gun. So cover me. I'm going forward. Cover. Cover. No, you cover from the back.
You know, cover from the front. If he is in my front, then I'm the one that what? That cover. You know, if anybody shows up while he's riding, I take that person out while he's doing something. So that's what cover means. Amen. That's what cover means. Cover means that you are doing something. You are actively doing something, but somebody is watching your back. Some people don't have anybody watching their back. The church that is supposed to watch their back, they kick against it. Or people that God has placed in their lives to watch their back, they kick against it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbors, stay covered. So prayer allows you to do all these things. So no wonder the Bible says pray without ceasing. Continue what? In prayer. Instant in prayer. And this year, we're going to do that. Amen. We've already started. But we're going to take it through the 365 days of this year. Amen. We're going to pray. You know, in February, we're launching our first Wednesdays. So every first Wednesday of the month, we're going to be praying together. And then the rest is GQ. Our Sunday prayer is going to continue. Our 24/7 prayer, GQ. Our 365 days of prayer, GQ, is going to continue. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And we're going to see. We're going to use this privilege. And we're going to see what God will do. Not only does prayer extend your influence into places in the present, prayer also extends. Let me give you that last verse. Prayer also extends your influence into the future. Everybody say to the future. Prayer extends your influence to the future. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? People are always looking for the power to control the future. Yep. Prayer extends your influence into the future. Because prayer is a seed. Let's rise up on our feet. We're going to read this rising up. Prayer is what? Is a seed. Is a seed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 126. The last verse of Psalm 126. Please get it for me. Psalm 126. He said, he that goes forth and weeps. Everybody say weeps. Bearing precious seeds. Will doubtless come again with him. Bringing his sheaves with him. Precious seeds. Prayer is what? A precious seed. Jesus said, blessed are you who weep. Because you'll be comforted. He's talking about intercession. Sometimes prayer involves weeping. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4. When Nehemiah heard. When he heard about how Israel was broken, he said, he wept. He said, when I heard these things, I sat down and what? And wept. And some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So when the Bible is talking about precious seed, one of those precious seeds is the seed of prayer. Amen. You control the future with your seeds. And prayer is a seed. There were some people who prayed and they died. Amen. They never saw the result of their prayer, but the prayer was a seed. And so after their death, it took place. It happened. And so we have this privilege. Let's use it. Somebody said, what is revival? Said, revival is when Christians start to pray. Amen. He said, it is easier to convert a sinner than to get believers to pray. Easier to convert a sinner than to what? To get Christians to pray. That's the hardest thing for God. Because if Christians can pray, all the other ones will be, you know, they will just be happening. So let's pray. Let's pray. Why don't we exercise that privilege today? Lift your hands and what do you desire today?
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.